Making the right hire is a lot of little things that really add up.
It's important not to rush the hiring process.
Plus 10 points.
But last time I was hiring, I didn't see my kids for so long, they started calling me by my first name.
We're out of milk, Deborah.
Minus 20 points.
Then I posted my job on Indeed, where millions of amazing candidates look for jobs every day.
Plus 40 points.
Indeed screener tools help me find my shortlist fast, so everyone's happy.
Post your job today at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
If you lost Survivor and you're feeling down, David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why Blank lost. And this is why Blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why Blank lost.
Welcome to this week's edition of Why Blank Lost. I'm your host, David Bloomberg, and I need to ask my co-host, Jessica Lewis. Do you trust me? Are we together 100%? Are you with me? Should I trust you? We're good, right? Right?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. There's so much pressure right now. You really can't approach people like that, David.
Okay. Oh, just shut up. Just shut up.
Listen, I'm going to go back to sleep now, okay? Fine. I'm taking my nap right before we go to tribal council. Oh, my word. How are you sleeping before tribal council? I just want to know that. Could someone explain that to me, how you were taking a nap before tribal council?
Honestly, he probably was trying to get away from Natalia at that point, yeah, which is what she suspected. But
quite possible. Because I don't know how anybody could sleep before tribal council.
I don't know. You know better than I do. It's not exactly terribly comfortable out there, so he probably needed to grab a few winks whenever he could get them.
Yeah, but before tribal council is not when you're like nap time. Like it's just that's the farthest thing from your mind at that point. But
apparently not.
Yeah. But yes, don't wake people up when they're napping. Yeah. Lesson learned.
And then tell them to shut up and go back to sleep. Yeah.
I think we'll be mentioning that a lot.
Yeah, maybe. But before we do, I just, you know, want to take credit because all of my predictions were 100% correct. We had, you know, B quit due to her injury, despite the fact that she appeared with her tribe in the preview video.
Yeah.
And then the swap occurred. And then Natalia was voted out, just like I said.
Wait, back up. Okay. No, you said Natalie.
Natalie. No, you must have misheard me.
No. And you know what? I believe I'm the one that predicted the swap like 2 episodes ago or something. So.
Yeah, well, nobody remembers 2 episodes ago. But no, I want to quote you from my note. I said, I think there's one thing we can rely on, and that is Natalia being Natalia. Whatever tribe she's on, nobody is going to want her around. Maybe I just made a verbal typo.
I believe I cannot trust you on that. We'll have to go back to the recording. No, you have been all over Natalie since day one.
That's right. There's a recording, isn't there? Okay, fine. I said Natalie, recording. But you can't blame me for trying, considering how much Natalia was apparently trying to be like the woman with whom she shared 6/7 of a name.
You know, unfortunately, it hasn't worked out for Natalia, though, like it's worked out for Natalie.
Yeah.
So, you know, we keep moving forward with my girl.
That's right.
Oh, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous for her.
Yeah.
I've been nervous for her.
Considering what we saw in this episode, you know, she went right away to pissing off her new tribe mates, too.
I know, but I feel like it's like just this tease that every week, what can we expect? Natalie pisses off her tribe. And then they're like, but we don't vote her out. Yeah. So it's just kind of been, it's become expected at this point. It'll be in the preview for next week, too, because she won't get voted out this week.
They should just have Jeff do that and they can play it each time. Next time on Survivor, Natalie pisses off her tribe and then go into whatever the next rest of it is. You know?
I'm telling you, that's what it's like. She's in every preview. It's like, oh, there's Natalie again telling people what to do. Yeah. So I just think we can expect that every time.
Yeah.
All the way to the end.
Well, I don't know about that, but
I have to be hopeful.
Yeah, you do. I understand. But you know, getting back to Natalia.
Yes.
I did want to mention something before we get into the rules and everything. Something that came out of interviews that I was happy to hear, and maybe more happy than most, but hey, it's our podcast, right? So in the first episode, Natalia was apparently the lead shelter builder, and the fact that she's an engineer was brought up. I noted at the time on Twitter that her branch of engineering has nothing to do with, well, building shelters or really building anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the topic came up in her interview, she told Mike Bloom, "I made it very clear that I'm an industrial engineer and I don't know how to build a shelter. But people hear engineer and assume I know how to build a shelter." I'm glad she said that, because I'm happy that she knew where she stood, that she wasn't like, "Oh, I'm an engineer, I can do this." You know, so even if everyone else didn't, because I could just see that, I could, you know, see a chemical engineer showing up. "Oh, engineer, you know how to build a shelter." No.
Yeah. Well, and it's unfortunate that I like that we did get to hear that she didn't want that job, because she recognized the difficulties that could come from it if you were unsuccessful in taking that role on. And unfortunately, that's what ended up happening for her, because she was getting barked at by Natalie and there was some tension there, and that turned into some rivalry because she wasn't building the shelter to Natalie's expectations.
Specifications,
that would be true. Yes. But so at least we did get that little tidbit. I figured you would appreciate that. Yeah.
Hey, it just occurred to me that I did not mention at the beginning of the podcast that this podcast is actually about both Natalia and B. So we've only been talking about Natalia so far. And if you're new to the podcast, maybe, you know, you're listening and you're saying, well, B quit. There's no why she lost. But we do that for everyone. We do it for Medevacs. We do it for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
However, in this case, we're going to talk a lot more about Natalia, because there were
she's so much more fun to talk about.
Well, yes. And there were some specific actions behind the reason she was voted out, while B quit due to injury. And we just didn't see a whole lot of B, probably because she quit.
Yeah.
But, you know, we'll still cover both, and we will just thank our lucky stars that, you know, there was 2-1 here, because if it had just been B, this would be, well, we might be done already. So, so anyway, but I do want to say that one thing that came up about B is I heard that she had an MMA match scheduled a month after filming for Survivor was over, which to me was just a horrible decision to begin with. Now, you certainly know better than I do how much Survivor takes out of a person, mm-hmm. even without an injury.
Yeah.
If she had done well, there's no way she'd have had the muscle mass left to fight a month later.
Well, and if she was trying to cut weight, she wouldn't have to.
Well,
she would have definitely been down a whole nother weight class. Yeah, I thought the whole thing, honestly, when I was looking at all of B's interviews and things that she said about the injury that she had actually sustained prior to coming out to play the game, and then that was part of the reason why she was so worried about tearing the MCL, was that what it was?
Yeah.
That she was so worried about tearing it again because she had already torn it once. And as I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, you tore your MCL a month before you were going out to play what is an extremely physical game, and you are an MMA fighter, so you're that much more concerned about the use of your knee and the need to have your knee to be in great condition. So you take the chance of going out there after having seriously injured yourself to then quit because you're fearful that you're going to re-injure it, because you did injure it, but not to the same extent. And it just, to me, just, it sounds, this is going to sound mean, and I'm not trying to be mean, because I get it. I understand it's her livelihood, and the quitting, I totally understand. But it's almost kind of a selfish thing to do that, to say, you know what, I hurt myself, and if I re-injure my knee, I'm not going to stay in the game, but I'm going to go anyway, and I'm going to play, and then I'm going to leave my tribe mates, like, in a lurch, basically, because if I do hurt my knee, I'm going to be either out of the game or I'm going to, you know, and maybe she didn't think of that but beforehand. But I don't know. I mean, I've seen so many people who fight to try to stay in that game when they're injured because they will do anything to stay. And she didn't have that fight in her because of her career. And I understand that. But it's strange at the same time to make that decision knowing you're going in to such a physical game.
Yeah, I didn't remember that she had injured it just a month before. I would have thought that it would have been longer ago than that for it to heal up.
I'm pretty sure, that's what she mentioned in one of her exit interviews. It was very close in time, I thought, too. And I could be misremembering and I could go back and look and someone could correct me. But it sounded like, from what I'm recalling from her interviews, it was like a month before.
Hmm. Just throwing this out there, maybe you're thinking of the month after MMA fight coming up, but maybe I'm wrong too.
Yeah, I don't know. So
someone will let us know, I guarantee, which one of us is wrong. Or maybe both of us are wrong, and they'll let us know that too. But in any case, yeah, what you have with B is someone who was not a fan. You know, she came out for other reasons, and so she's not a fan. She's not there because she's been wanting to do this her entire life. Because those are the people you would have to drag away kicking and screaming.
Yeah, exactly.
And so we'll get more into that too, I think. Some other potential, reasons. But yeah, so we'll leave it at that for B now. So that we have a little bit more to say about her, as we get to the rules here.
I'm perusing my notes to see if I can find it anywhere, but I feel like it was really close in time. My notes are not like David Bloomberg's notes, everyone. I have lots and lots of pieces of paper. So anyway.
Lawyers are supposed to be organized, like engineers.
There are certain things that I am very organized about. And I like to say it's like, it might look chaotic, but I know where everything is. I have lots of post-it notes. Those are my favorite things in the world. I can find everything. I know where it is, but this is also not my lawyer work. Yeah.
Yes. It sounds like my office at work and my office at home and my dining room and my bedroom. And anyway, so.
You're getting very personal now.
That's just where I have stacks of paper. That's all. So getting back to this. And switching back to Natalia, she was excited to come to tribal council. She told us that. So I'm sure that she'll be at least as excited to hear us discuss her game.
Yes.
In the meantime, Jeff Probst told Dalton Ross that he didn't know what Natalia's fatal flaw was. I'm not sure if he just wasn't watching or he didn't want to spoil this podcast, but I do know that if he's listening now, he'll definitely know by the time we're done. So let's help him out and figure out why Natalia and B lost.
Yes.
So this week, we're going to start with a combination of the fourth and fifth rules instead of the usual, which would be the first rule, because I think we're going to find that almost everything else surrounding Natalia stems from what we'll find here. The fourth rule, of course, tells players not to let their emotions control them, and the fifth discusses how players have to pretend to be nice and play the social game. To Natalia's credit, while she certainly didn't seem to understand what happened while on the show or in her day after video, it appears time and seeing herself on TV has seemingly given her some answers. For example, Josh Wigler asked her what she thinks led to her downfall, and she said, "As you can see on the show, I speak my mind and I have a hard time controlling my emotions." She similarly said in her CBS interview, "You see my aggressive side come out." And she also told Rob she speaks with aggression, especially when she's insecure. The problem is she didn't understand the importance of these factors while she was playing the game. When she was voted out, she told Alec, "I knew I couldn't trust you." But she probably could have until she made him untrustworthy. In her day after video, she said she should have trusted her instincts because she knew something was wrong. Again, she made something go wrong. She also said she went wrong in having too much faith in certain people, but for a third time, no, it was because she didn't have enough faith in them. But she was right in saying she learned that she overanalyzes and gets paranoid.
Yeah. I mean, she was actually asked to, like, specifically about Alex's perception of the way that she approached the game. And she used words like bossy, demanding, controlling, aggressive, anxious, annoyed, crazy. Like, if these are the ways that you are describing your own gameplay or how someone else is perceiving it, clearly there's an issue there.
Nah.
But she does recognize it, at least about herself. And you know what? She recognized it about herself even coming into the game.
Yeah. And that's in some ways what makes it worse.
Oh, yeah. I know, which is, it's quite fascinating to know that, like, her biggest flaw was going to be how she was going to work with the people around her. You know, one of the things that she was telling Josh Wiggler before the game even started is that, you know, she was going to be stripped down and the annoyingness in me is going to come out, bossing people around and getting annoyed and yelling at people. And I like to delegate. I like to be in control. It's in me to be very aggressive. The way I talk to people is very forward. I like to be confrontational. Now, and I'm sure that she probably said these same things when she was in casting, and they were drooling with every word that was coming out of her mouth because they were like, yes, yeah, this is who we want on Survivor because she is going to stir the pot, which is exactly what we saw.
Yeah, I mean, I got to give it to her. She was better at predictions than we were. You know,
it's just that
she was better at predicting her own demise from the game.
Yeah.
You know, I think part of the problem was in her day after video, she said she didn't need to hide who she really was on the Goliath tribe, but she didn't know how to relate to or gauge people's personalities when they switched tribe. I think what happened was, okay, she knew that that's who she was. Then she went to the Goliath tribe. And she got a false sense of security there because there were so many other strong personalities.
Yeah.
You know, Natalie drew everyone's attention early. Jeremy drew it more recently. And Natalia was battling with Natalie. So that put her on the good side of the tribe. You know, if you're going against that person that we're against, well, you must be with us.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if there hadn't been a Natalie there, it's possible, maybe even likely, that Natalia's strong personality would have attracted attention sooner.
Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah, she even told Mike Bloom that she thought Alec heard her tone and said, oh, she's bossy. And her defense to that was that's just how she expresses herself.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you express yourself, like telling people to shut up. And the problem she's missing is that it's up to her to correct how she expresses herself. She said in her CBS interview that she already, well, you've already gone over this too, but, you know, in her interview, so she said it beforehand. And then afterwards, she said she knew going in that she had a short temper and then followed up by saying she's very self-aware. So she knew that she had that short temper and everything. But the way she acted tells me that while she may be self-aware, she's not nearly as aware about how other people are reacting to her.
Yeah.
So she's just not putting herself in their mindset.
Well, and I noticed, too, when you mentioned the word tone, when you're talking about how she talks, one thing that comes across very clear is the manner in which she talks at people instead of to people. And you can see that, I think, in her day after video, there's almost like two different people speaking because it's at the beginning, she's just kind of speaking. And then like maybe less than halfway through, suddenly she's talking at you about stuff that happened. And there's a big difference. I thought I could pick up on it. And I'm sure that people in the tribe probably picked up on it, too, because there's a really big difference when you are communicating or just telling people what to do. And a lot of what she was doing, I think, especially with Alec, was kind of at him. And he didn't, one of the things she said, which I thought was interesting, was that he wasn't listening to me. Yeah. And so that was making her more aggressive. But that's not how you should necessarily combat that problem, is to continue to be more aggressive because he's not listening to you. you need to communicate in a different fashion. And like you said, she wasn't able to determine how she was being perceived. And it was probably because she's come from, you know, I mean, she is a very strong individual, and her, I'm sure her background and her education all like supported her being that way. And, you know, and when she was on the Goliaths, it supported that kind of mentality. But when you're around new people, and even Alec, who I'm sorry, I don't think should be on the Goliath tribe, or what shouldn't have been, but that's just me. Maybe that's why
he's a Goliath in the bartending circle.
It is such a stretch. It's such a stretch. But perhaps that's why it didn't jive with him, because he doesn't have that same Natalie type of personality, or, you know, John type of personality, or Angelina, you know, where you're just kind of very strong willed. And I don't know if maybe that was part of her downfall, too, is that that is who she is. But she clearly didn't recognize that other people didn't like that and didn't appreciate it.
Yeah, it was actually pointed out by Sunday on the feedback show that this behavior was quite reminiscent of a certain someone on your tribe. Mm-hmm. And I bet you remember her, since I think an idol was played to save you that day.
Listen. Okay. Should I talk about myself? Should I really talk about myself?
Not yourself. I'm talking about Lucy.
No, I know, but here's the thing. I obviously only have one season that I played, you know, the season. And so that's the one that I kind of go back to when I think about things that happened. And I hate to always talk about myself in our podcast, well, because it's about other people. But
I know. I think
yes.
It's okay, since Sunday brought it up on the feedback show. And it clicked with me. I'm like, oh my God, that was the same way that Lucy was talking, which ended up helping to save you.
Yes. And so thank you, Lucy, for having that type of personality. And obviously there was all kinds of things happening there, but that was really Lucy's big downfall too, is she was talking at Ken and she was talking at David and just giving them orders instead of having a conversation with them. And when you are playing this game, the last thing that anybody wants to feel like is they're being told what to do. They want to feel like they're part of something, that we made a decision together. Because if that person is telling you what to do, one, it gives you someone to throw under the bus, because you can say, well, they told me to. So that's bad for the person who's barking orders. But it's also not good for that, for feeling like you're part of something, like you're a team. You know, we keep seeing all of these little groups forming and they have their alliance names. You know, there's the rock stars, by the way, which I really appreciate.
Yes. Yes.
So that was a nice little name I appreciated. But yeah, I mean, so I feel like it takes away from the, I don't know, from the alliance angle of it, or feeling like you're part of a team. There's like when you're just telling someone what to do, and that's exactly what happened to her. And I think it's exactly what happened to Natalia.
Yeah. And, you know, now that she's out of the game, she seems to know that building relationships is the best thing you can do on Survivor. And she even said, you know, she had lots of people coming up to her to ask her to work with them. And she told Josh that she tried to build fun and happy connections with everyone. And then she also said in an interview she had a close bond with Kara and Angelina from the beginning of the game. But again, she got to the Swap Tribe and she said she felt herself clinging to Alec and Kara and didn't build a relationship with Davy and Elizabeth. And she thinks that's why she went home. And I hate to keep disagreeing with her assessment, but no, that's not it. She didn't cling enough to those two. You know, instead, she ended up pushing Alec in particular away. Now, I will, you know, say she's right that she should have talked to Davy more, just because it's always a good idea to create those social bonds on your tribe instead of just assuming, oh, one of these people is leaving and we're the majority. We don't need to talk to them.
Yes. But that's so bad.
But that wasn't, you know, that wasn't the reason there.
Yeah. And here's the thing. She did say in her interviews that there was no one-on-one conversation with she and Davy. All the conversation she had with Davy was in a group. So that is problem number one. And I do think that she made it even worse when she sat in tribal council and Jeff Probst was like, so there's three Goliaths and there's two Davids. And so basically it's either going to be Davy or Elizabeth, right, Natalia? And she was like, yes. And I know you're in tribal council at that point and your decision has been made. And Alec, it seems like Alec kind of switched things up at tribal, which we say doesn't happen very often. But you aren't, even if Elizabeth or Davy were the ones that one of those two went home last night, you know, on Wednesday, if one of those two were voted out, what kind of relationship does the person who's left want to then have with Natalie? Because she's just like, yep, you're, I don't even care about you. Like, we don't need you. You're kind of just tossing them aside, which is not going to help create any social bond with that person because you've really just dismissed them. And you've made it very obvious that you've dismissed them because you're not having conversations with them. And then you're just kind of throwing it out there at tribal that, yeah, one of them is going home and, yeah, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have that big a problem with it, with the answering honestly, if she had made it so that would actually happen.
Well, you know, yes, but you can also say it. Yeah, but you can say it without being so
blunt.
Yes, like you could be like, well, you know, Jeff, looking at the numbers, that's really what it appears it is. And, you know, I think Davey's a great guy and Elizabeth is
right, right.
You know, and you can do those things to still make them feel like they're part of something. But we have to vote someone out and it's unfortunate. And this is what we have to do instead of just being like, yes.
And just, yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
You know, that's it.
Now, I do want to address something you said, and I didn't have a plan to necessarily bring this up, but. Yes, you mentioned that it appears Alec changed his mind in tribal council, and Dalton Ross mentioned it too, and he acknowledged this is not something that happens very often, but oh, look, it happened. I don't think that's what happened. I think he came in with two possibilities. I mean, he said it to us. He said, I will make up my mind at tribal council.
Oh, yeah, he now, had a plan A and a plan B.
Right, because otherwise, how did Davy know who to vote for? He only
well,
had
don't
to
you
tell
remember?
Elizabeth. No, I know, he knew. That's what I'm saying is they had talked about it beforehand. So
yes.
Alec could have gone in either direction. So I don't
yes.
view this as someone suddenly seeing the light and changing their mind. He was debating which way to go.
And I agree with that. And I know that there was a conversation that Alec and Davy were having. And I think Davy, I don't know if he can't remember what point in the show, but if it was a confessional or if he actually said it to Alec, but he was like, you better give me a look of some sort. You know, mm-hmm. there was something that was said about Davy needing to know in which direction that they were going to be going. So there was some type of plan in place. And then when he got to tribal council, like I think all of the talk about big moves and resumes really sent him over the edge.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He decided to take Natalia out. But yeah, I mean, I just feel like there's a different way to approach a situation like that. And for Natalia, just because she is she's very honest. And she says in her exit interviews, you will never not know what I'm thinking.
Which
that's
is,
exactly what we yeah, saw.
Which is bad for Survivor, by the way.
Yes. Yes.
So,
yes.
So anyway, you know, we mostly move the fourth and fifth rules up to focus on Natalia. And let's face it, 90%+ of this podcast is going to be about Natalia. But there is a big aspect of what happened to be a couple episodes prior involved here as well. And that's because we know from interviews that she felt betrayed by Gabby because they had a tight bond. And she said much the same thing at a watch party last week. But what she also said was that bond was so tight in part because they were in kind of this Asian alliance. So it seems like B felt like Gabby was really close to her, that they were, you know, closer than just a normal alliance.
Hmm.
And I think this is part of the reason B didn't feel the need to reassure Gabby as much about the plan. She felt like they were already emotionally tied together. And so that was good enough for her. And she didn't realize not good enough for Gabby.
Yeah. And she did mention that's like her one big issue, that she didn't actually try hard enough to make everyone else feel more reassured. And I think that was both Gabby and then, you know, and then that what happened to Jessica because she didn't do that.
Right.
That's, and it seems like that's like a theme. I don't know. It seems like this is not the first time that we've been talking about this, and maybe it's just because we were talking about the Switch at that point because there wasn't any reassurance. But even if it's, even if you've talked to someone like 10 times already about something, talk to them about an 11th time or a 12th time just to make them feel better, because it, that's when I'm telling you, if you ever play this game, the paranoia really, really gets to you. And if someone looks at you sideways, you're like, wait, what was that all about? You know, so sometimes people need reassurance. And so if someone comes to you looking for it, give it to them. Don't blow them off like we saw in the Mean Girls scene.
Yeah, I mean,
because that's not good.
And that really takes us to rule number one, which is where we're going, you know, after this anyway, because, OK, we just talked about that she had an alliance with Gabby, but she told Rob that she failed to keep reassuring her. Again, this is what we were just talking about. So it's really linked, because she was emotionally close to Gabby. And because of that, she didn't know that she needed to keep reassuring her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, you know, the first rule comes in, which is, you know, scheming and plotting. And there's a provision in there about checking in that we added fairly recently. And, you know, she just assumed all was well since they had that bond that we were just talking about. And she even said in her day after video, which I think was actually 3 or 4 days after, but that she needed to communicate better because she tends to check out sometimes. And,
yes.
And as soon as she checked out, they flipped on Jessica.
Yes. And this is why you have to be so mindful of everything that you bring into the game. And she talked a lot about the fact that she checks out, and there's a reason for it. She had a lot of things that happened to her in her life, and so things caused her to check out emotionally with people. And you have to be so aware of those things when you come in to play this game, just like we saw Natalia was very aware of her potential to be bossy and aggressive, but you know, she still was bossy and aggressive. So being aware of it is one thing, but then saying, okay, because I'm aware of it, I have to not do that because that might rub someone the wrong way. And someone like Gabby, who is a little more emotional, a little more sensitive, needs a little more reassurance. You have to kind of adjust the way you are to work with those that are in your group, because otherwise it's not going to work. And that's exactly what ended up happening with B. There was this assumption we're good because we talked about it and I feel good about it, but Gabby clearly didn't feel good about it.
Right.
And that's where that part of B's personality ended up showing through. And even though that's not what was intended, that was what happened. And that's the way Gabby read it. And then look what happens.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Your other ally voted out.
Yeah. Also to, you know, something else related to the first rule with B is something she mentioned in her day after video, which was that she didn't realize how important it was for the David tribe to have numbers until after she made her decision.
Oh, I was so mad when I heard
that. Yeah, I mean, this doesn't impact why she lost. I mean, she'd already made her decision, everything. But it says something about her game awareness overall.
Yeah.
How can you play Survivor and not realize that it's important to have numbers? I'm just a bit astounded by that comment.
And that's the part that I was saying earlier, that, and you had mentioned too, that she's not a fan of this game. Like, she's not someone who listens to any of, she didn't live in a Survivor world before she went out to play the game. I think she must have been cast, and then she crammed like 6 seasons in like a couple of months and kind of tried to catch up. But you can't catch up on all the nuances of this game and all of the intricacies of it by cramming like 6 seasons. And to not even be aware that, gee, if I quit, I'm putting the Davids at a disadvantage here, and how that's going to affect the numbers, to realize that later is just really, it speaks volumes of putting people on the show that don't watch the show.
Yeah, I mean, I go back to something that she said in, you know, pregame, and I think to Josh, and Rob has mentioned this a couple times, where she watched the Triple H season and came away with it saying Ben was just in control of that game the whole time.
Mm.
Well, when we all know he was, you know, in a fair amount of control early and even middle, but at the end he needed idols. That's the only way he survived. If he had been in control, he wouldn't have needed an idol every single time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that tells us right there, and it told us at the time, something's a little off here. She doesn't quite get it. And this just shows, you know, still didn't quite get it.
Yeah. And she feels bad because she basically like screwed over Carl. Then he gets sent off to Exile Island, which worked out fabulously well for him. But yeah, it's just these, whenever you are, you know, and it's interesting because there was a web confessional with Angelina, and she was talking about her response to B leaving the game. And I thought it was really quite fascinating because she was talking about how there was this, the human side of her felt really awful that B had to make this choice and was very sad for her. But she said, then the game mode kicked in and I started to look at it from a game perspective and said, hey, well, that's one less person that's basically in my way and one less person we now have to think about. And that's the difference. Someone who is looking at the game as, you know, from a human standpoint, but also a game standpoint. And I was in that same situation when Paul, on my season, he went down and medical had to come and look at him. They thought he was having a heart attack. And in my head, I'm going, okay, this is really horrifying and awful for Paul. What does that do to the game? You're like, you know, you have to, unfortunately, you have to think that way. And the fact that never even crossed her mind until she was getting on the boat is really disappointing for her tribe members, because I'm sure the night before when she was talking to them about this, in their head, they're all going, but my God, if she quits, what are we going to do? We're down one more number. And they're probably having this conversation with themselves in their head and maybe even talking to each other about it. And she's not even talking about it. So it's just unfortunate for her tribe.
Yeah, definitely. I like I said, it just shows, you know, when it came to strategic thinking, it wasn't there.
Yeah. Nope.
So, but someone who was doing, you know, her share of strategic thinking and scheming, and we know she was part of an alliance, was Natalia. Now, that alliance was supposed to include six players on Goliath, though she said in interviews that that part never really got off the ground, in large part because she couldn't reel in Alec. But however much she knew about the need to scheme, she also said things like, how to win Survivor is making big moves. Which is wrong. I mean, we talk about this plenty on this podcast, but she bought into the Jeff Probst hype. So, you know, besides her wanting to go for the big move, I think a more important problem was she really didn't seem to be all that good at pulling people over to her side and keeping them there. I just mentioned how she couldn't bring in Alec while she was still on the Goliath tribe. And then on the Swap tribe, she was constantly questioning her allies. As she said in tribal council, well, okay, you already mentioned this. It could have been just pick Davy or Elizabeth. But she didn't hold to that in camp beforehand. If it was really that straightforward, then why didn't she stick to it in camp? It's almost like she was willing it to be true in tribal council. And instead, in camp, she just kept doubting her own allies and driving them away from her. You know, Stephen Fishback talked about it in his blog and said, while she's saying, I'm afraid, what Kara hears is, I don't trust you and I'm worried about you flipping.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then Kara runs and tells Alec that Natalia is being paranoid. What Alec hears is, you don't trust me. And you don't trust me leads to, I can't trust you. So, you know, then he even said, I get the feeling that Natalia doesn't really trust me. So, you know, I think Stephen nailed it on this one. When you hear that, it all turns back around.
Yeah, that is absolutely spot on, the effect that that is going to have on anyone who hears it. And like, and I think that goes back to her talking at people instead of having a conversation. The fact that she was supposed to be part of the six, and there was this idea that she had Alec, but she's the first one to say, I didn't have Alec. I don't know where they're getting that from. It also just goes to show that she really wasn't good at bringing people in, but there was an assumption that she was going to, and that she would have the ability to do so. And she also, in one of her web confessionals, was talking about how she needed Alec and Kara to stay. And it was almost like, it was so it was so interesting because it was almost forceful. Like, I need them to stay. Well, if you need them to stay, then perhaps you shouldn't be telling them to shut up and you shouldn't be, you know, yelling at them and waking them up and making them feel uncomfortable. It's such a strange, it was so interesting to watch all of that episode kind of happen because it was like the spiral that she had put herself in and then couldn't get herself out and just kept making it worse as things progressed.
Yeah. And, you know, she identified this problem in herself because in her CBS interview, she was asked why she thought Alec decided to flip. And she said it was the doubt she had in him. And he knew that she didn't trust him. But again, I think we talked about this a little already. She turned it back around on him and said it was because he never gave her a reason to trust him. So she had to keep asking for reassurance. But and this is the part we talked about. Right? You can't blame it on him. You have to put yourself in his shoes. Either you trusted him or you didn't. If you did, then you had to stick with him and not drive him crazy. If you didn't trust him, you had to choose a different path, which is something she told Rob, you know, in saying she wishes she had convinced the others to vote Alec, which I guess theoretically could have been a viable option to try to do. Except we've already talked about why it wouldn't work, because she couldn't block Alec from getting closer to Davey and she couldn't block Kara from getting closer to Elizabeth. So I don't know the amount of scheming that she would have had to do to get that plan to work. I think she just needed to calm the heck down.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And the other thing too, that I find very curious is she mentions in multiple interviews that the whole, like you had just said, that Kara was getting close to Elizabeth, Davey was getting close with Alec. But then there was also this weird component of Alec was dead set on wanting to vote out Davey and she didn't want to vote out Davey. She wanted to vote out Elizabeth. And he should have been supporting her wanting to vote out Elizabeth because Elizabeth had mentioned her name. But in my head, I kept going, well, wait a second. But you keep talking about the relationship that Davey and Alec were forming. But then Alec was dead set on voting out Davey. So something was definitely like amiss because that doesn't make any sense. If they're formulating this very close bond and then he really wanted to vote Davey out, then clearly the bond wasn't that strong if that was who he was gunning for. It just to it, I didn't get that sense watching the episode that like he was dead set on voting out Davey, but I did get the sense that she was dead set on voting out Elizabeth. And maybe again, that's the talking at him instead of listening and kind of interpreting the situation. Just it to me struck me as very odd.
Yeah. I mean, if he was dead set on voting out Davey, then she should have just gone along with it.
Right. Because it doesn't matter. I mean, you Davey or Elizabeth and you know what? And here's the thing. Even if you have this concern that Elizabeth is forming a relationship with Kara, that's fine because then maybe she can be part of your group then at that point.
Right.
Because Kara's part of, you know, Kara's with you and then Kara will be with Elizabeth and then you're all working together. So fine. And you know who did that? Now that you mention it, that was exactly what Adam had decided to do in our season after I was already out of the game. He had mentioned this, that when Hannah wanted to vote out Sunday, he's like, it didn't make any sense. Like, it made no sense at all that she wanted to vote out Sunday, but she wanted to. So I was like, well, it doesn't bother me. You know, fine. If that's what you want, that's what we'll do. Because it made Hannah feel like she was making a decision, even though it was a really silly decision,
right.
You know, but it made her feel better. And she could have done the same thing with Alec and said, okay, well, that's what you want. Great. And then you've created more trust. You've created a bond. You've given Alec something to feel like he made a decision about and she's not telling me what to do. It's all good things. So it definitely comes down to you need to listen to what the other person is saying when you're making these decisions.
Right, right. All right, let's move to rule number two, which covers how players need to avoid scheming and plotting too much. We began the first rule talking about B not really understanding some of the basics of scheming and plotting. So I think it's safe to say that she didn't overdo it, right?
I would say yes.
Okay. So going to Natalia, we've already discussed how she was scheming and plotting incorrectly. I guess it could be said that what she was doing was scheming and plotting too much since she kept on pestering Alec. But we also talked about that being emotional in nature. So I guess it's more of a categorization issue than anything. I would just say that the way she acted was wrong, whether it was scheming and plotting too much or too poorly.
Yeah, it was really just overthinking everything.
Right, right.
I mean, she was trying to scheme and plot, but yeah, I think it was, it wasn't necessarily too much too soon, but it was just too at people too soon, I guess. I don't really know the better way to describe it.
All right, so we'll move to the third rule, which tells players to be flexible. I could make a joke here about B's knee not being flexible enough, but I'll pass on that.
Oh, that's so mean.
Well, that's why I didn't make it. So officially, I didn't make that joke. I just referenced the possibility that I could have made that joke. So, not much we could say about B. So instead, I'll just ask what you thought about Natalia's flexibility.
Well, I think the fact that she wasn't willing to consider Davey being voted out versus voting out Elizabeth shows that she really wasn't flexible in her thinking. And the idea that she came into this five, I know there was this Goliath strong concept and this idea. And again, she didn't take the time to really try to forge a relationship with Elizabeth or Davey. She was very adamant that it was going to be she and Kara and Alec, and that was it. I think it really showed that she wasn't really wanting to be flexible because she was so kind of locked into this Goliath strong and it will be us three. And this is how it was, when we were together on Goliath, there was six of us. And so I feel like she was very set on this idea of this six coming together again. And that was it. That was what it had to be, period.
Yeah, I mean, I do give Natalia some props for going along with the decision to vote out Jeremy instead of arch rival Natalie at the last Goliath vote.
That's true.
Though I guess it was presented to her in such a way that it was a done deal already. There's been some people who still would argue about it, but okay, that, okay, fine. She showed that amount of flexibility, but that was pretty much it for her.
I got to go here for a quick second. Because in one of the interviews, she did mention the fact that she spoke to Natalie about that vote and told Natalie that I want to vote you out, but I want some assurances that if I don't vote you out, this isn't going to be bad for me. And Natalie was like, I'm Goliath strong. We're going to do this. I've got no hard feelings towards you. We're good. And so then Natalia felt better about it.
Natalie has not exactly been a brilliant game player to this point, but even she knew that when someone says to you, hey, if I don't vote you out, is it going to be bad for me? No,
right.
Of course not.
Exactly.
I'm with you all the way,
Yeah, but she did still, even though she went along with the Jeremy thing, she had to have that, like, I gotta go. I'm gonna face her. I'm gonna talk to her about this. I want her to know what I'm thinking.
Yeah. But anyway,
I liked it. I thought it was fascinating.
I know. It's the two of them dealing with each other is hysterical. But getting back, just to Natalia's flexibility or lack thereof, she seemed to expect people to play her way on her terms.
Mm-hmm.
And if they weren't, then obviously something bad was going on and she was going to dive in and find out, as we've already discussed over the past few rules. And that's not how flexibility works.
Yeah. I mean, she told, what was it? Did she say, she's like, either you vote with us or your game is ruined or something to that effect. she was very honest in that regard when it came to what people were, how people should play the game. And yeah, it was, vote with us or your game is over or something. And I think that was to Davey. I think she said that. So yeah, it was her way or the highway.
Yeah, definitely. But
so I don't think she's very flexible.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Vote with us or you have no future in this game. That's what she said.
And where was her future in this game?
Right. That's one of those maybe you shouldn't have said that because it's a bad showing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, while not all players are flexible, This week's sponsor, Simple Contacts, certainly is when it comes to the way you get your contact. Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes.
Yes, you might think that buying contacts is already simple, but it's actually pretty cumbersome. I've been wearing contacts for over 15 years, and the most frustrating part is that there's actually a law in the United States that requires a new prescription every year to buy lenses, even if your vision hasn't changed and if you have perfectly healthy eyes. So you have to pay for an exam and take time off because most eye doctors are only open during work hours, like 9 to 5. It also costs extra for a contact lens fitting to make sure the same contacts that you've been wearing for years still work for you. Now, you can avoid all of this with Simple Contacts, and I actually did. I took just a few minutes to register, and I provided information about my previous prescription. Then I took an eye exam in my basement. I'm not even kidding when I say I took an eye exam in my basement using my phone. The camera checked the redness in my eyes, and I read various letter arrangements from about 10 feet away from my phone. And the process was quick, and the next day my exam had been reviewed and my prescription was renewed. Now, my friend saw how easy this was and ordered them as well. My husband has been looking into it as well. So listeners, you can do the same and save $20 on your lenses by going to simplecontacts.com/survivor20 or entering the code survivor20 at checkout.
With Simple Contacts, you can renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's a one-stop shop. You register, order, and take the test all at one time. The process is designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists to review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. This isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam, but it is the most convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder your contacts if your vision hasn't changed. Simple Contacts has all the brands and types of lenses you're familiar with, and Simple Contacts has been rated 5 stars over 3,000 times on the App Store.
And one of those was mine.
So remember, go to simplecontacts.com/survivor20 or enter the code survivor20 at checkout so you can save $20 on your lenses at Simple Contacts. Again, that's simplecontacts.com/survivor20 or enter the code survivor20 at checkout. So now it is time to move on to rule number 6, because we addressed rules number 4 and 5 at the beginning of the podcast. And this rule warns players against being too much of a threat. I don't think this really came into play for either Natalia or B, do you?
It kind of came in a weird way as it relates to Natalia, I think, through Alec, because I feel like Alec looked at Natalia, and I know it was almost a trust issue, but I think in Alec's mind, it was kind of spinning into, she's going to be a threat to my game moving forward because I can't trust her. Mm. And so there's this kind of this, I almost feel like there, in his mind, this is how Alec is looking at it, is how do I fix this problem now? Well, if I vote her out, then I don't need to worry about it later, because I don't think I can trust her later. That was kind of the thought I had looking at it. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes sense, although I thought she was more of a threat to Alec's sanity, but
that might be it too. Yes, that might be it too. Because there is this idea, and if you don't think someone is with you now, then you're definitely not going to feel like they're with you later. And this was something that Steven actually talked about too. He did really a great breakdown of this. I got to give him props, because he did talk about you have new people that you're playing with, and it's like you already know what you've got because these are people you've been playing with for a week and a half at this point. So you're coming in with these people that you're familiar with, and over here it's almost like they're new toys. This is how he analogized it. And it's something new and it's exciting. It's kind of an unknown. And so in Alec's mind, he might have been looking at Elizabeth and Davey going, God, these people, they're pleasant, they're friendly, they're nice. Like, I can talk to them and hang out with them, and like, I enjoy their company, and they're not barking things at me. But they're also playing a game. They're playing Alec because they need to stick around. They need to stay. And I feel like the conversation that we saw between Alec and Elizabeth was very interesting on the beach, because he was being talked with. She was having a conversation with him. We didn't see that with any scenes between Alec and Natalia where there was an actual conversation. It was always very one-sided, where she was telling him things and he was listening, and it wasn't a give and take. But you saw Elizabeth being very interested in what Alec's thoughts were, and Davey the same way. Davey asked point blank, do you think you can trust these people? So I feel like Alex was getting, he was getting the reassurance from those people that he wasn't getting from her. And so in his mind, that was going to be a threat to his game down the road.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. As far as B, I think the only threat was that the knee injury posed a threat to her future career.
That's true. Yeah. She said that a lot. Yeah, so I would say yes.
All right. The seventh rule talks about getting and playing idols and advantages. And I don't think either of them really had anything to do with either. I don't have anything to say here.
The only thing that stuck out to me when in her exit interviews, Natalia mentioned that she knew that either Davey or Elizabeth had an idol. Like she, and it, I thought it was interesting the way that she knew one of them did. She thought it was Elizabeth, but she knew one of them did.
Yeah. She knew lots of things in her own mind. She knew that they were planning, you know, that Kara and Alec were planning on turning on her. So, yeah. I just thought
that was interesting that, you know, it was this, she knew, but at least she thought about it. At least she said, well, if one of them has an idol, but here's something else that I thought was interesting in when she was talking about the fact that one of them might have an idol. Part of the conversation they had with Davey in this, the way they broke down the votes, where again, it was basically like, well, Davey, two of us are going to throw your name down. Three of us are going to put Elizabeth down. And if she has an idol, sorry, you're going home. And again, like, is Davey just supposed to sit there and go, oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. All right. I'm good with, I mean, like, what, how are you supposed to respond to that? But again, I feel like that's the way it was even presented to him, where she was just like, listen, this is what it is. So,
right.
Which I'm sure isn't going to win you points with Davey.
No. All right, so we move on to Appendix A, which is about keeping your end goal in mind when voting, and whenever possible, voting out the weak, then the strong, then the weak, then the strong. And it generally looks at the decisions made by the remaining players. We're not going to talk about weak and strong this time. We obviously don't have anything to say regarding B here because she wasn't voted off. But that's made up for on Natalia's swap tribe because we have a few things to say about the wisdom of this vote, mainly as it pertains specifically to Alec.
Yeah.
You know, for Davey and Elizabeth, the decision was trivial. They were in the minority and their only choice was to point at each other or go along with a crack that formed among the Goliaths. The latter was the obvious move. For Alec, well, sometimes players in the majority make a dumb move without really thinking it through, but that's not the case here. Because Alec did think it through. He knew that if he flipped, it would be a sign to the other Goliath that he was no longer Goliath strong. Now, maybe he figured he could talk his way out of that. But he also knew that Carl would come in to replace Natalia and give the Davids a majority on his tribe. So he made this decision with full knowledge of the situation he'd be in, which makes it that much more jaw-dropping.
I know. You know,
I know he was annoyed by Natalia. And like you said, he probably didn't trust her in the long run. But it seems fairly obvious that the Goliaths had to stick together in this vote from a strategic point of view.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is I've already said this. I hate talking about my season, but this is exactly what happened in every single vote after the swap, is that the majority ended up voting out one of their own on each of our three tribes. I don't know why that ended up happening, but that's what ended up happening. But I do think that they made sense. In mine, the tribe I was on, it made sense for Adam to join up with Ken and I and vote out Figgy. And it made sense for Cece to get voted out, you know, by David and by Chris. And the Michaela vote, people can argue with. I don't know if that one necessarily made sense, but I also understand it because I played with her and she was a beast and would have been incredible at, you know, any merge challenge that we were going to have. So there was thoughts involved with all of those too. So this happens. We see this happen where the majority does vote out one of their own when they get to a swap. But in this particular instance, I really don't feel like Alec had enough of a reason for doing what he did, because there it wasn't like he was on the outs with the Goliath tribe at all. I mean, he was part of this potential six, so he was in a very good place as far as a majority is concerned if they come back together. And he's also aligned himself with some very strong players from Goliath who have a very, very like long life in the game, or a potential for a long life in the game. So again, it would have been good for him. And now he's just shot himself in the foot with all of those people who are all very strong players and people who are not going to appreciate the move, because he took out one of the six for really no reason other than she was annoying him and being bossy and yelling at him.
Yeah, in the examples you gave, you know, you were right, of course, because you were there. But the people were on the outs. And so, like, if this had happened like I expected it to, on, you know, and Natalie's tribe had lost and they had voted her out, I could totally see that, because she was already on the outs.
Right.
Now, Alec did have a web confessional to give us some insight into what he was thinking. He said he didn't see it as three Goliaths and two Davids, but that he could become part of a better alliance. He said he's not just playing a numbers game for now. Instead, he wants to pay attention to the future for alliances outside his existing one. In other words, don't be Goliath strong, be flexible and reach out across the aisle.
Now, this isn't how you reach out across the aisle.
Yeah, well, I obviously can't criticize part of the thinking, because being flexible is the third rule and scheming plotting is the first, but, and it's a big but, there's that second rule about scheming and plotting too much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't want to go into it too much. You know, will it be his downfall? We'll just have to wait and see. He put himself into a dangerous position, and he'd better hope that Davey wasn't just giving him lip service while trying to save himself. Personally,
no, I think Davey's totally giving him lip
service.
That's
exactly what I think, too.
Yeah. No, Davey didn't want to play as idol. So it's a much better situation for Davey to be in now, because he's got his buddy Carl back. He still has an idol in his pocket. They've got Elizabeth. And here's this guy, Alec, who ended up being the reason why this all happened. And it's I know we're not doing predictions yet. I'll wait. But I really think Davey was just, he was working Alec hardcore.
Sounds like our predictions might be identical again. But, but before we get to that point, and before I wrap up, do you have any final thoughts?
I do. I just have to adjust my sheets here, because I have lots of pieces of paper, as you all know. I know
get
you
your
love
sheets
hearing
together.
About it. I know. I've got to get my sheets together. So who should I start with? Should I start with Natalie or should I start with B?
That's up to you.
All right. Well, so I will start with B, and I'll just say that we've already addressed much of this, but I was worried for her from the beginning when we were learning who she was and we were hearing from her pregame that she didn't really know or appreciate Survivor, because she wasn't a fan. It wasn't something that she was invested in, and that is a huge detriment coming into this game. And I think because that's what B brought into the game, she didn't bring in the desire and the want to win like so many other people who play this game have when they have a chance to actually play. And she did make a decision to quit. And that was her decision. You're allowed to do that, absolutely. But we talked about it, the fact that she didn't even think about the numbers and the effect it was going to have on her tribe. Is really unfortunate for all of the people that were playing with her, because she really did negatively affect them because she was thinking about herself. And that's unfortunate when you're part of a tribe. I get it. She's an MMA fighter, and I hope she does great in her career and that her knee holds up and that she's in good form. So I can respect her for wanting to do well in her profession. I totally get that. But it's just an unfortunate thing to see that someone would give up and quit a game like this when there's so many people who would probably give their knee to play this game. You know, they would literally cut off a leg, I think. So So that's so my thoughts on B are just that. I'll just leave that where it is. But I was worried about her, and I didn't think she was gonna last too long, but I didn't realize she would be quitting.
Yeah.
As for Natalia, I have to make sure I say the right right name here. Natalia really is, I think, a perfect example of a Survivor player who recognized all of the potential faults that she had and flaws that she had coming into this game, and then basically just said, screw it. I'm just going to be me. And I really do think that part of the reason why she did that was because of the theme, because of this David versus Goliath theme. And we all know Jeff loves this theme, and he's really selling it hard. And I think that, you know, she said that she wanted to be in sales. That's what she wanted to say, that she was in sales when the game started. And then all of a sudden you find out it's David versus Goliath, and suddenly sales doesn't really fit the Goliath theme, although bartender does. But that's, you know, another discussion. So she ended up telling them what she did. And I feel like it was almost to her detriment that happened, that she ended up part of that Goliath mantra, this idea, this, you know, that we are strong, and she even said it because she was on the Goliath tribe, she could be herself, which was being bossy and annoying and in your face, and everybody's going to know what I'm thinking, and I want to be a leader, and I want to be confrontational. All of those things that were and are incredibly detrimental in this game were almost like, it was like this ray of light that she had, you know, walking into the Goliath tribe, like, I can be all of these things that were going to be so bad. And then by the time the swap came, she forgot how to actually like adjust that and turn it down a notch and deal with people that weren't interested in that type of mentality and approaching the game in that fashion. And so I really do think that she was she brought on her own demise because she didn't know how to turn down that dial, and she didn't know how to react to people who are not like her, like Alec or like Elizabeth or like Davey, and read the room better and understand the situation. She really did create that spiral that she found herself in. And when you start telling people on Survivor to shut up, you know you're in a bad place. Like, that's not a good, it's not a good look when you're playing the game of Survivor. So I really, you know, I just think that the swap, certainly, I don't want to say she was swap screwed, because that was part of it.
Yeah.
It's just a small part of it, because you have to know how to adjust. And that was her biggest problem, is she didn't know how to adjust. You have to know there's a swap coming. And when the swap comes, you have to read the room and you have to rework the game that you've been playing. She certainly did not rework her game. She put down that pedal all the way to the floor and decided to go for it, you know, full speed. And Alec didn't appreciate it. And unfortunately, it got her voted out.
Yeah. So as with most of the rest of this podcast, I don't have much to say about B. She made some alliances, but became complacent and didn't check in with the one who needed the most support. That ally turned on her and caused a cascade effect that resulted in B being blindsided and suddenly finding herself in the minority. But what really mattered was that B injured her knee and didn't want to risk her career by staying in the game, so she quit. She made that decision, and it's hard to fault her for it too much. Though I do suspect one aspect of that decision was her weak position in the game. If she was controlling everything, she might have felt better about continuing. But she wasn't, and she didn't. As for Natalia, she said at Tribal Council that if she went home that night with guns blazing, she was happy. But her guns were misfiring, and she sure didn't seem happy while she was leaving. But then there were many other times that we saw her when she didn't seem happy. As we know, maybe the Survivor producers took all the moments she had over 3 days and compacted them into this one episode. But it seems somewhat unlikely, especially given the way Alec was reacting. In our preseason podcast, I noted that Natalia admitted she could be bossy and annoying, and I said it wouldn't surprise me if she went pre-merge. Yep, and And we've seen just how related those were. She knew about those personality traits and couldn't control them because she let her emotions run wild. Strategy went by the wayside as she just kept questioning and annoying her ally, to the point of even telling him to shut up shortly before tribal council. I'm not saying he made a good decision in voting her out, but it seemed to be an understandable one. Natalia said in her day after video that she thinks she was paranoid for a reason because she got voted out. But as we've talked about throughout here, she had cause and effect reversed. She was voted out because she got paranoid. She let that paranoia get the better of her, and it overwhelmed every other emotional and strategic thought she had. And those are the reasons why Natalia and B lost.
Fabulous.
All right. It is time for predictions, which from the sound of it, may be once again the same prediction. But
I know.
So let me say, John said in a web confessional that he doesn't think the Slamtown Swap Tribe will lose a challenge. And I tend to agree.
Yes. Did you see him in that challenge? My word.
Yeah, I mean, all
I'm
of them. They have a good combination of strength and puzzle ability. So I'm not worried about anyone there.
I'm just talking about his abs, okay?
Oh,
someone's got to say it.
I wasn't looking at the ambassador of abdominals or whatever he calls himself.
Yes, but I do agree. They've got the two strongest guys. They have the algorithm puzzle guy. You know, I mean, it's almost unfair. Looking at their tribe, it is almost unfair that they have such incredible, they have the two best puzzle people, really.
Right.
On their, I mean, it's just, it's insanity that they ended up with the group that they did.
Yeah. So, you know, that the real question that I have, and this is something that Rob also brought up on the recap podcast, is whether Natalia's old tribe should be throwing the next challenge or two so they can ensure that they get rid of a Goliath.
I totally agree with that.
Right, because if they don't, then it's fairly likely that a David goes home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this would be a way for the Davids to get a majority overall. And if Davy doesn't really want to align himself with Alec, as we were discussing earlier, he should have no qualms about it.
Yeah.
So with this in mind, whether they throw it or they're just bad, I think that that same tribe will lose and the David majority will join together. And I think they'll get rid of Alec because, well, I mean, he wasn't even trustworthy amongst the Goliaths.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he be trustworthy with them? So I think Alec is the next one to go.
I totally agree with that. And I do really think that they would throw the challenge because Davy said in pregame, and he said it in web confessionals, that he wants to play and he is interested in shaking things up and making things happen. And what a great way to affect this game. I mean, I think this is one of those moments where throwing a challenge is perfect. It's perfect because then it evens out those numbers and it's only going to help the Davids. I know that people say that, oh, you know, that once you swap and then you start forming your relationships, nobody forgets where you came from. And especially in a theme like this, where it's this very like David versus Goliath. I mean, it's like being pounded into everyone's head at every moment, every chance that Jeff can talk about it, he does. And so I feel like that would be, oh, this is such a perfect time to do that. Take out a Goliath, do it, take out Alec. I agree wholeheartedly. Alec's going home. Alec. And then, he'll be like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done what I did. he'll start realizing the error of his ways.
That's right. That's right. Or maybe he'll go on Instagram and talk about it. Who knows?
Oh, you know, maybe he'll post some pictures he's not supposed to.
Yeah. All right. So as we wrap up, I want to remind everyone about the RHAP patron program. Listeners can head over to robhasawebsite.com/patron to help support all of the RHAP podcasts. And also look at the various Patreon levels to find out what kinds of perks you can get, like patron Facebook group, getting a special buff, being able to access special podcasts and videos, etc. Again, check out everything at robhasawebsite.com/patron. And after you become a patron and get to the Facebook group, make sure to say hello to us there.
Yes.
And besides talking to us there, anyone can also, and not only can, should follow Jessica on Twitter at JessicaLewis89 and follow me at David Bloomberg. And you'll want to make sure you follow both of us to see the whole conversation throughout the week.
Yes.
So,
and you might get a selfie or two of David every once in a while.
Every once in a while, and more than every once in a while for Jessica.
But it's so much more fun when you post them because they're totally unexpected.
Good. So, hashtag.
Ooh, I have one.
Do you? Okay.
Hashtag shut up.
Yeah. I fear that there's a lot of political.
There probably is.
Maybe
we shouldn't do hashtag shut up. Because,
right.
But that seems appropriate.
It does. And it also seems appropriate for many political tweets. So,
oh, I know. That's true, too.
So I have a very long hashtag.
Oh, geez.
Which seems
what
appropriate here. Paranoia will destroy you.
Whoa. I love it. But that's a lot of characters.
That is a lot of characters. But, you know, hey, they doubled the number of characters a while back. So.
I know.
So
paranoia will destroy
ya. Y-A.
So, I like it. That's good.
Yeah. And of course, there's the easier hashtag for this podcast overall, which is YXLaw. Everyone should make sure you're getting all of the Survivor commentary you can handle by subscribing to the RHAP Survivor podcast at robhasapodcast.com/survivor or doing so on your favorite podcatcher. We are also on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups feed, and in both places, you can find great RHAP content like The Know-It-Alls, The Wiggle Room, The B&B, The Recap Show, The Feedback Show, you name it, it's all there.
Mm-hmm.
As we close, I would like to thank Scott St. Pierre, as always, who does the editing on all of the Why Blank Lost podcasts. Thanks to Will from America for the theme song, and of course, thanks to you, Jessica, for another great episode.
Thank you so much, David. It's fun as always, and I can't wait to see what's going to happen next week when we're both right.
Yeah, I mean, if we are both right, then we have some cutting and pasting to do for, you know, from the notes for this one. And I already mentioned a little bit.
I know. You know, unfortunately, someone like myself that uses pen and paper, I can't cut and paste.
Oh, sure you can. You can literally cut and paste.
That's true. I could. I could that would be interesting.
You probably have some paste left over from when the kids were younger.
Oh, I'm sure. I have so many crafty things in my house. It's crazy. But it is fun. It's a good time. So we like being crafty.
Okay. All right. So that is about it. And
hey, wait a second. We can't be done yet.
We can't.
I just realized something.
Uh-oh.
Isn't Halloween on a Wednesday?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's so problematic. See, I mentioned crafts and then I start thinking about costumes and then I think about Halloween. That's going to be frustrating.
Well, it's not going to be frustrating for me because I don't have little kids who trick or treat, or even medium sized kids who trick or treat. So,
damn it. I'll figure it out.
You'll figure it out.
I will. But listen, be safe when you're trick-or-treating, everyone.
That's right. They have a week still, so they can prepare now.
I know they can. They can get ready for it because that's my favorite. It's my favorite holiday.
I
love Halloween. But anyway, we're okay. We can go now. I'm sorry. People
that's
are
okay.
Like, God, be done already.
Yeah. Anyway, normally I would say that people will hear from us in a week, but it's just possible you'll hear from us somewhere else a little sooner than that. We'll leave on that note. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A survivor and you're feeling down. David and Jessica will turn it around. They'll break down the rules and they'll show you how. You played yourself and got voted out. This is why blank lost. And this is why blank lost. Oh, baby, this is why blank lost.